Welcome to the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. I'm your host, Dwayne Benton, and you know, I've been playing for a minute for some of you guys my old interview with Ben Tankard, and he talks about his life. He talks about how he thought he was going into the NBA for so many different reasons, but it was for something else. Listen, Ben Tankard is with us tonight on the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. We're talking to the godfather of gospel jazz next. Just like you. Spotlight. I'm Dwayne Benton, and I'm super excited to welcome to the show tonight the one and the only. And you know how people always say that, and they're just like, yeah, sure, he is truly the one and only, and I'll explain to you why. Please welcome Ben Tankard to the show. Brother Tankard, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, great leader?
I am so good. Pastor Tankard, Captain Tankard. I don't know. You got so many titles. I am so excited to talk to you. You are truly one of the founding sounds of gospel jazz radio. You got so much music. It's absolutely ridiculous. How do you turn over all that music?
Man, it's just a blessing from God. You know, all of us have a story, and mine began in the ghetto of Central Florida.
Yeah.
On public assistance, welfare, peanut butter, powdered eggs, powdered milk. You know the deal. Hamburger
Gross
helper
me.
With very little hamburger.
Yeah. Really, hamburger helper.
Yeah. And I thought my way out of that ghetto would be pro ball. I was 6'6" by the time I was in the sixth grade. And,
wow.
And my mom also put me in the band. I was a tuba player in the band. But long story short, when I graduated from high school, the Lord blessed me with 60 scholarship opportunities.
Wow.
30 for basketball and 30 for band. I knew then that God had a calling on my life, and that was favor on my life to have that many opportunities in the middle of the hood. I took the basketball scholarship hoping to go pro.
Yeah,
because that would pay more money than playing the tuba.
Yeah,
and I did go pro, but I got injured and cut my first year. In fact, before the season started, I was cut, injured, and cut, and that's where my real story starts.
Yeah,
and I was so depressed from that. I went to church, a revival service, hopefully to get some chicken. I heard they were gonna have free chicken after church. I went to get a chicken sandwich and messed around and got saved, brother.
Hallelujah.
And the minister anointed my hands with oil and told me to sit down to the piano. And what came out was what you hear on my records today. It was a jazz instrumental sound, but Christian songs and Christian thoughts. And so I kind of came up with that thought to call it gospel jazz. And 30 years later, people still can't get enough of it, and we're going to keep on doing it. In fact, today we're releasing a new worship single called Holy Forever.
So, yeah.
We're still in the game, brother.
person, if you know, between you and Kirk, because it seems like you guys are vying right there for that same level of the gospel jazz sound. Is there a comparison of how you guys came into this? Was there any conversation between you two, or you all went separately and the Lord brought it all together?
Well, you know, the difference between me and Kirk is legit. I'm wannabe.
No, I'm not accepting that.
Kurt is jazz and classically and professionally trained.
Yeah.
This guy can be a professor of a university. He has not only just the inspiration of God's song in his heart, but he can actually teach this thing. He is a professional. He has college degrees. I ain't never had no lessons. I'm still trying to figure it out. And so he kind of has an edge because he can go into a university and teach students how to play this music. But when they ask me to come to the university and ask for a syllabus, I tell them, just pull your Bible out because that's what I use. I can't read music. That's my syllabus.
That is, but listen, it's the anointing. You cannot or compare the anointing.
We trade stories and we play together on the road and we've been part of each other's history. But, you know, I believe, you know, Kurt is a jazz musician by trade with gospel inflection.
Yeah.
I'm a gospel musician by trade with jazz inflection.
That makes it a perfect combo.
I was, you know, a lot of the gospel artists, at some point, you know, from Vanessa Bell Armstrong to Thomas Whitfield, Yolanda, anybody that you know of that does gospel, they have some sort of jazz sound or song in their repertoire.
Yeah.
And then most jazz artists, they have at least one gospel song, even if it ain't nothing but Wade in the Water. They have some sort of gospel song.
I never saw it that way.
In their repertoire.
Yeah.
I think I was the first one that actually put gospel and jazz on paper and said, I'm a gospel jazz artist.
Yeah.
All 10 of these songs are that.
Thank you. the history between you and Yolanda. You are the one that launched Yolanda Adams, am I right?
Yeah, I was part of chapter two. Chapter one was Yolanda with Southeast Inspirational Choir, and
right.
then Thomas Whitfield did an early record on with her on Sound of Gospel Records.
That I love that project.
Phenomenal, but did not get the response and the major response that it should have.
Yeah.
When I came along, I picked up where Thomas left off. And people kind of say, you know, Ben Tankard discovered Yolanda, but Yolanda was around way before I discovered her.
Yeah, but I'm saying you actually helped put Yolanda on the map because that one threw the storm, right?
Oh, yeah.
See?
Through the storm, the battle is the Lord,
yeah.
Just the prayer away. We got 40 hits together now.
But let me say this. On that particular project, there is a song that I heard that said, oh, my God, Yolanda is just all over the place with this talent thing. And I want to play this song. It's from that project, Through the Storm, produced by Ben Tankard. And this one is called A Message to You.
I wanna be close to you. Have you done what I've asked of you? My child, my child, are you telling the world about me? Are you telling the man I can save him? Have you done what I've asked of you? This is my message to
This is the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. We're talking to Ben Tankard, and we are just going back through his life, just recounting wonderful memories of how life began. Now, we've talked about, Pastor Tankard, your beginning and when you got into this thing called music. Do you actually know, and you probably do, but I just have to ask, do you know how many projects you've released and recorded at this point?
I have recorded 22 albums.
Crazy.
Each one of those albums has at least 10 songs on it. So there are over 200 songs out there in cyberspace that I recorded.
Yeah.
But I've also recorded with other people like Yolanda,
yeah,
Take Six, Drew Albright. And so there's probably about 300, maybe 350 pieces of music out there with my name on it, with me having worked with other people as well.
Now, if I recall, didn't we talk about you were deciding whether or not it was leaving Verity good for you or going out on your own? Tell me that story again.
Yeah, I was go back a little farther. When I left the NBA and got into music,
yeah,
nobody cared at first. The gospel people said I was too jazzy, and you know, the church said I was too jazzy, and the jazz club said I was too gospel. So that 5-year period between the time God saved me and anointed me to play and me actually working a music job, there was a 5-year deliverance, the 5-year wilderness, and in that space, I was a dog catcher.
Okay,
I was a dog catcher D with a Jerry curl. I'm back in Florida,
yeah,
no contract with this gift. Nobody would hire me, so I went downtown City Hall. Said I'm gonna just take whatever job is available because I'm not gonna run drugs. You know, I'm going to do something. Whatever's legal, I'm gonna take the job. Whatever,
yeah,
they have open.
Yeah.
And the only thing that was open was a dog catcher.
Okay.
So I took a job as a dog catcher, and I wasn't even a very good dog catcher. You know, they gave me a badge that said Animal Patrol Officer, and my job was supposed to drive around Tallahassee, Florida, and look for stray dogs, and catch those dogs, put them in the dog truck, and bring them back to the dog pound. And my quota to keep my job was to bring back at least 12 dogs
a day
at the end of my shift. Man, I wasn't good at this, man. You know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm supposed to bring back 12 dogs. D, I only got 4 dogs in the truck. I got to believe God because somebody about to get their dog stole. my big break. I went into a music store and sat down to the piano on my lunch break and playing around on the piano. I couldn't afford to play the piano, to buy the piano, but, you know, doesn't cause anything to test drive it. So I'm in there on my lunch break, Doc, with my dog catcher uniform on, playing on these folk pianos and organs. And there was a lady that was in the store shopping for a piano. And she tells the store owner, "Hey, I'll buy the piano that the dog catcher is playing." $100,000 piano.
Wow.
The store owner came over and hired me on the spot. He said, "I want you to come in and just play piano all day." That was my first music job.
Wow. That's
and
crazy.
And so I took that job, and then I began to develop my own style. I was able to buy equipment like drum machines and recorders and stuff from the store with my disc, with my, you know, employee discount.
Yeah.
Built a home studio, recorded my first record, my first cassette, went to the Koja convention, Matty Moss Clark heard me.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. I got picked up by a company in Nashville that brought me to Nashville, and that's how my journey started. And I was hired by Tribute Records, which was later turned into Verdi Records.
Yeah.
And I was with them for 16 years. They, of course, got bought out by Zomba and moved to New York and wanted me to move to New York as well. I'm a country boy. I'm from Nashville. I'm from Tennessee and Florida. And so I didn't want to go to New York, so I stayed here. And, for a while, I was just wrestling with how long am I going to stay with this company there in New York. I'm doing all the work. I'm on the road. I'm doing the interviews. I'm doing the work anyway. And so I had to just believe God. So I decided to leave the company and just launch out with Benjamin Music. And you know this, it's for years, the only two record companies in the world is Amazon and iTunes.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it now. Yeah.
Everybody else is a marketing company, you know. So those companies would take 10-song presentation, 10-song CD or 10 songs, or, you know, MP3s, and they sell it for $10. They take $3 out and they send the $7 to the record company. Now, if you're signed to a record company, you get 10% of that $7. But if you are the record company, you get the whole $7.
Yeah.
Since I was doing all the work anyway, I said, shoot, here we go, Benjamin Records.
Makes all the sense to me. love with the thicker than water.
Oh my goodness, glad you asked about that, man, because a lot of people don't know where that came from. That came from a transparent moment of me just being a clown in my home with my children. My daughter Brooklyn was in the kitchen cooking one morning, and she had not combed her hair. Uh-oh. And so I took my iPhone and I snuck up to the back of her while she was cooking. I think she was frying some bacon, and I said the name of this episode is Kitchens in the Kitchen, because she has little naps on the back of her neck. And she turned around. She didn't even know I was back there. She said, "Dad, what are you doing?" And I posted it, and it went viral.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so they heard about it in Hollywood. Next thing we know, they said, "Hey, you've got a big house. You got a big family. You got a big heart. It might be cool for the world to see what goes on in the Tankard Palace. So let's sign you to a contract, do reality TV. Just be yourself. And we're going to call it Thicker Than Water."
So when you guys first came out, a lot of people in hindsight say the reality show and what they're portraying, because I don't know if you had control over the visual on the back end, but people say, "I kind of regret doing it. It's exposed too much." How do you feel about that?
There's some truth in that, because the cameras get to rolling and, you know, you get to joking and cutting the fool. Sometimes you say some things that you should not have said, but you know, we talked to Bishop Jakes before we even did the reality TV show.
Yeah.
And we said, "Bishop, we got this opportunity to do major TV. What do you think? Because you've done movies and plays and stuff, and you're a man of God, so we honor you. What do you think?" He said, "Well, if you're going to do this, Tank, what you need to do is you need to make sure that you allow people to see the family flaws. Because as men and women of God, we should have a standard, we should have a creed, but nobody will believe in it unless they see it challenged and see it winning in the end." So he said, "Don't hide the drama, don't hide the wretchedness, show it, and then show how God resolves it within the family kingdom space." Yeah. And that's what we did, and the thing went viral, man, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Gently rain.
It's not normal to live in a 13,000 square foot house. It's not normal to have homes in different states. It's not normal to fly your own airplane.
Yeah.
And I said, you know something? People will see the drugs. They will see the arrest. They will see the drama in our black community. Why not see a good day? Why not see the blessings? I made the mistake, of saying, I believe all Christians can be rich.
Mm.
Well, you would have thought I'm less than somebody's 3-year-old.
Wow.
They treated me, who do you think he is? They just raked me over the coals. But isn't that why you ask for promotions on your job?
Yeah.
Isn't that why you get an education? Everybody wants to do better. Everybody sits and dreams what would happen if I won the lottery. Just be real. Everybody wants more than enough. And I just was bold enough to admit it and say I believe that all Christians can and should be rich because they can be a blessing to other people if they are. And you would have thought that I just broke some big cry, man. That went viral. And that made the show even go bigger because drama pushes a show even faster than just, non-drama.
Yeah, I believe in this. I don't want enough. I want the abundance that he promised. You guys started out at Bravo. Are you still doing episodes of Thicker Than Water?
Yeah, we did 3 seasons with Bravo over a 10-year period, and then we shot, a year or so ago, we shot season 4 ourselves, and we're getting ready to upload that to YouTube. That's going to be a YouTube series.
Yeah.
And we shot that ourselves. After about 3 seasons, Bravo kind of passed on us because we had just kind of resolved all our challenges, and they were looking for more drama. And we were just a little too happy for them.
Yeah, that's good. Well, hey, that's a good thing. Sorry.
And we wasn't gonna make up no drama. And my wife is from Detroit. I ain't got the kind of wife I can throw water in her face, no way.
Ben, I want to talk a little bit about your wife, Jewel Tankard. And this is the reason why I want to talk about her, because you have incorporated her not only into your music, but into your presentation, your online story. You guys pretty much do it all together. How is that glue so tight?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I have to say this, too. You know me for many years. I don't hide no truth. You know, I show the drama too. And so you see the greatness of 24 years of partnership with me and Jewel.
Yeah.
But really, to be honest with you, Doc, it's built on failure. You know, she was married once before.
Yeah.
I was married twice before.
Right.
So we got three bad marriages that we're standing on that makes this marriage good.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying everybody got to do what we did, but, you know, we both know how to have a bad marriage really, really good. So when we got married, we decided to say, you know, this is going to be the last time around for both of us. Let's start with a white sheet of paper, clean sheet,
yeah.
And let's rewrite the script and learn from our mistakes. And I discovered that she is my kingmaker. You know, I'm her protector,
yeah.
But she's my kingmaker. And so we are partners in this thing, and we bring the best out of each other, man. And it's intentional.
What do you all say to couples who are trying to rebuild off of past pains, hurts, whatever you may want to call it? What's that key thing that keeps the Tankards going?
Coaching.
Yeah.
Even Michael Jordan. Whoever you think is the GOAT, there's this argument as to if Michael Jordan is the GOAT or if LeBron is the GOAT or Magic. But the thing that's consistent with whoever our favorite is as the GOAT, they all had a coach.
Mm. Wow.
Coaching is important. And so, you know, it's important that you have a spiritual covering, be part of a church, or have a spiritual covering, have pastors that have your heart, and you can lean to them. Now, my wife came up in Bishop Wayne T. Jackson's church, Wayne T. and Beverly Jackson in Detroit. My spiritual father, Dr. Rick Layton, out of Shreveport, Louisiana, and Creflo Dollar. So we have an abundance of spiritual mentorship to where we are accountable to them. And if we face a challenge, we don't have to figure it out on our own. We can go to our spiritual parents. And if we have a debate between each other, I can tell on her. I can call her spiritual daddy if she acting up. She can tell on me. If I'm acting up, she can call my spiritual daddy. And it's like, oh, no, don't call him. I'll straighten up. We have a fear of our spiritual cover. I'm sorry. Please don't call him.
People who love you enough to tell you the truth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Somebody that's not impressed with your bio, impressed with your tax return, not impressed with your car or whatever. You know, and so you don't need a yes man in your corner. You need somebody that will challenge your butt and not impress with your grammar. So, Ben, you said that wrong. You did that wrong. You need to straighten your tail up.
Yeah, that's a good thing there. We're talking to the one and only Pastor Tank. And I'm going to tell you who told me your name was Tank. Mark Kibble.
That's my guy.
He says, oh, man, me and Tank got in the studio and we did this song, which I'm going to play. It's called Black Butterfly.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Sound of Blackness, and we did that, and it was fun.
Yeah. Ben Tankard is hanging out with us on the Sunday Jazz Spotlight.
Black Butterfly. Thank you.
Join Gospel Jazz Radio every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Central for Jazzed Up Worship.
The moral of the story is, there's someone that's definitely bigger, greater than your mind could think.
A two-hour journey into the soul-stirring sounds of gospel music, infused with the smooth, sophisticated vocals of jazz.
Made me a believer.
Bringing together your favorite gospel and jazz artists to create a truly uplifting and inspiring experience. From classic hymns reimagined with a jazz twist.
I surrender all. You know, Lord, that I surrender all.
To contemporary gospel hits with a jazzy flair, Jazzed Up Worship is your go-to destination for a musical celebration that will get you moving.
Falling in love with Jesus.
So, whether you're starting your day or looking for a moment of reflection, tune in to gospeljazzradio.online and let the harmonies of faith and jazz fill your soul. Jazzed Up Worship every Saturday, 10 a.m. Central on Gospel Jazz Radio.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Sunday Jazz Spotlight. I'm Dwayne Benton, and you are listening to my exclusive interview with the godfather of gospel jazz, Ben Tankard. Unfortunately, and I should have known better, you can't talk to the godfather of gospel jazz in just an hour. We need more time, so this will conclude part one of our conversation on the Sunday Jazz Spotlight with Ben Tankard. Come on back next week and enjoy much more. We've got plenty to share with you. We're talking about Ben Tankard, the godfather of gospel jazz. He's on the Sunday Jazz Spotlight, and we will see you next Sunday with part two.